The scripture is from Psalm 100, a psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Amen.
Welcome and good morning and happy Sabbath. A number of years ago, Floyd challenged me to present some information that was actually very vital to everyone to know, but without some of the underlying symbolism. Floyd and Tanya invited us to come to do a vacation Bible school here. I don't know if any of you, well, you might have been here. That was my first presentation, only it was for children. Today I would like to summarize, because I'm hoping that you folks can take the information, the printed information, and expand on it, and maybe even do some of the activities. It was presented, oh, I guess it's been quite a few years ago now, scientists discovered that our brains develop the capacity to handle stress through a, well, I call it a cycle. And every time that your brain processes this cycle with another brain or another mind, your capacity increases to be able to handle stress, to handle life. Does it sound like something we could all use? Some of us are learning about it. The cycle, I call it the joy-peace cycle. Now, in order to understand better that cycle, we need to define some terms. What is joy? What is peace? And yet every time, because every time we experience those together, every time we experience them, our brain can grow. Does that sound like a good idea? Joy, and by the way, both of these experiences, you cannot have by yourself. You cannot have real joy by yourself. You can be happy, you can be contented, but you can't experience it by yourself. Joy only can be experienced when there's at least two minds. It can be you and God, or you and another mind. Either way. But there must be two minds involved to experience the kind of joy and peace that will grow your brain, that will enhance your capacity to handle stress, to handle life. Joy is my present definition, and it keeps growing. Joy is when you experience that another mind loves for you to be with them. Have you ever felt that way about somebody? They really like to be with you? So you and that other mind can experience joy. That's what the kind that grows your brain. The joy that grows your brain is when you experience that another mind loves for you to be with them. You're special to them. You're the apple of their eye. That kind of feeling. The kind of peace that the joy-peace cycle involves, again, has to be more than one mind. It can be more than two, but a minimum of two. And of course, the joy of the Lord, we learned about that a little bit, but other minds as well. Peace is when you come to the point where you know you're comfortable with that other person or that other mind. You know you can trust them. You can be at rest in their presence. Does that make sense? And every time both of these converge in a relatively short time, that's when the mind growth happens. Most of you, I think, have had a baby around. And this was first brought to view. Well, I mean, it's been ever since our minds grow. But a mother holding a baby, have you ever done that? Or a father can be too. And you look at the baby's face and might tickle his nose or something along that line. And the baby smiles. The baby recognizes that you love for them, that baby, to be with you. And of course, for most of us adults who've had children, it gives us joy to see the baby respond with a smile or some other positive reaction. But then have you ever noticed that baby then will turn away, sort of look some other way? Well, at a baby age, they can only handle small amounts of that kind of joy, but they'll sort of relax and maybe even close their eyes, if you're tracking what I'm talking about. They're going into the peace. They know that you're protecting them, you're taking care of them, and they just sort of fall back, you might say, relax in your arms. It may happen over and over again, but the cycle is vitally important that both parts of that cycle happen. If you only have joy, but no peace, no relaxing, no comfortableness, you don't have the growing capacity to handle stress. Or if you're just always at peace, but you don't have any joy, the same thing happens. One other little tidbit before I go on. The brain collects these little experiences throughout the day. Then you go to sleep. Now, if you have had both joy and peace, and they don't have to be bombastic, but you've had those experiences, the brain seems to put them together into little couplets or whatever and uses it to grow the brain, to make it stronger, to handle stress better. Let's say you only had peace, you never had joy. It'll clean house and get rid of them. It doesn't hold on to the incomplete cycles. And so therefore it doesn't grow the brain, which I found very fascinating. But now, these joy-peace cycles, it is essential for them to grow for everyone. Now, you can also have it with God. If there are humans around who aren't cooperating, you can still grow because of your relationship with your Heavenly Father, because He wants to have, John 15:11 tells us, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you." Now, he was talking to his disciples just before Gethsemane and the cross. Joy? Then? Well, God, Jesus, as a human, but as God too, knew about how the brain works. And he says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Why? Because he knew it would be our redemption, you might say, and that we can experience the joy of the Lord, which is what? Your strength. And the peace that passes all understanding. A good place that God intended for joy and peace to happen was the family. We talked some about God's plan for family. We realized that a lot of people don't know what that kind is. So God said, okay, he wants a church to be a family, doesn't he? You can experience the joy and the peace in the church family, or at least we hope you can. And these two experiences come, it can be human to human, it can be divine and human, but when we, in some degree, experience this joy-peace cycle, God intended, in fact, I believe it's going to continue on, as we're in heaven and we return to this earth and a new earth, we're going to still be increasing in the joy and the peace. Romans 15:13, for those of you who are following this second, third page. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and what? Peace in believing. So God wants us to experience with him joy and peace. It's right next to the one that says there's peace in believing. It's a big poster. I think it's a third, the back of the second page. The God of hope. I'm going to sing this one. I love this one. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Romans 15:13. I'm going to give out a couple texts right now, and I want someone to help me. I think we've got a microphone that we can pass around. Someone look up Nehemiah 8, verse 10. Can you, let's see. Who wants to do that one? Can someone volunteer to read? Okay, Barb. And then Psalm 119, verse 11. Can someone else get that? Okay, Barb.
Then he said to them, go, eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, and send portions to him who has nothing prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Okay. They had just been listening to how far their nation had wandered away from God. But they were wanting to recommit themselves. And so he said, don't grieve too much. It's all right to be sorry that you've wandered away. But what was going to give them strength? That last phrase. The what? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Isn't that something? I have sung that many, many times. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah 8, verse 10. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord. And I think it was Pierre. He said, I didn't realize that you, if you got my link, look up music. I have sung most of these just so you can hear what they're like. I have about 20 or so that I didn't get done. But anyway, if you want to listen to them, it's just me singing, but it can give you an idea of what the different ones sound like. So this joy and peace. Could someone read the... there's no page number. Second Testimonies to Church. It's got the blue frame around it. Can someone read that one while with the microphone? There is something here that I really want us to understand. It's got a blue frame around it, and it's a third page. You can read it for us.
There's peace in believing and joy in the Holy Ghost. Believing brings peace, and trusting in God brings joy. Second Thessalonians.
Testimonies.
To the church, page 319, 320.
Now, this is my connection with God, isn't it? There's peace in believing, joy in the Holy Ghost. And what does believing do? Brings peace. So when I believe that God loves for me to be with Him, I can be at peace with Him. And trusting in God brings joy. Now, the next page is another one on joy. Can I get, maybe, yeah, go ahead.
What is the joy of the Christian? It is the result of the consciousness of the presence of the love of Christ. It is the effect of the operation of the Holy Spirit.
Okay, don't worry about the reference. Can you read the next one there?
The life of God in the Southeast, humanity's only hope. The love which Christ diffuses through the whole being is a vitalizing power. It implants in the soul joy that nothing earthly can destroy. Joy in the Holy Spirit, health giving, life giving joy.
Yes. Now, can you read the next one?
The control of the on the thoughts, its cooperation with the Holy Spirit will give control of the words. This is true with some, and will ensure greatness of mind, contentment and peace. There will be joy in the contemplation of the riches of the grace of God.
You see that word joy again and again and again? This is how we're talking about our relationship with God here. I'm going to read the other one. The Holy Spirit operates the same the world over. Isn't that comforting? Whether you're in Zambia or you're India or U.S. or wherever, He operates the same the world over. When it is received into the heart, the whole character is changed. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Old habits and customs and national pride and prejudice are broken down. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. I'm going to go back to the fruit of the Spirit. Can we all read this together? I think it's so good. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. When these are abiding in the soul, there will be unity of thought and action. And this is when the body of Christ is coming into unity. And that, the body of Christ, the family of God, both of them. I'm going to go forward to the next section. This was done as a vacation Bible school, so I'm not going to touch on all the activities so much as I am going to just be presenting the concepts. The first part, you might say, of experiencing joy, peace, is that two minds need to come into some kind of communication. I like to use the word synchronization. I think I told a story about that one woman that if I said something, it was no. I don't care how much she wanted it. If I said it, it was no. And the Lord said, you need to accept that because you, it's not for you to force. Even something she wanted, she would say no, seemed like. But anyway, God wants us to come into synchronization. And there are three basic things to happen in order for two minds to synchronize. Sometimes it can happen without even trying, but just so that it is a little more clear, I put it into these steps. Step one is affirmation. What's affirmation? Do you know what that word means? In the Bible, a similar situation when we're dealing with God is called praise. I use the word affirm when I'm talking with human to human. Because praising God, and you've heard me say, praising God beats the enemy back and gives us the victory. So this is the first step towards synchronizing us with God or us with one another. And when it's with other people, I like to use the word affirm. I am going to have you practice it. I hope you don't mind. Let's take the microphone. And I want each person to say something that's affirming for someone else. Even if they aren't here, that's fine. But affirm or say something good, something positive about another person. So maybe take this around to each person, if you don't mind taking the microphone. I want you to practice it. It doesn't have to be somebody who's here. If you want to do it here, that's fine. Barb, is there something you can say positive about someone else? Anybody?
Sure. I'm glad that I sit behind her because she is friendly.
Okay. Jane?
Kindness.
Okay, can you think of someone who's that way?
Everyone here.
Okay. That's good. Something that you're affirming or positive about another person. And God, kindness is about God, too, I know.
Trustworthy.
It's about grandfather. It's very helpful when someone helpful, but it's healthy and cooperate. That things is very make me happy, and I arrive here, he receives me, my family, and make joy in my family. That's a good person.
Yeah,
very helpful.
Thank you. Praise, thanksgiving. Well, thanksgiving to me is when someone's actually done something. Praise is an attribute or, you know, I'm focusing on, like you said, you're kind, that kind of thing. But they're both important. They're both good. And so affirmation or praise is like opening the door to another mind, offering to have this experience of joy with them. Now, I did mention the praise is the first step in offering to have this joy, peace experience with another mind. Now, because we live in a world that doesn't have everything perfect, the next step is to forgive. Now, it might not always be something that, but a forgiving spirit. What does forgive mean? Does anybody have a good definition for forgive? I was sitting in church one day. This is a bad confession, but to me, it was one of the most boring sermons ever. But I was also thinking ahead because I had a vacation Bible school coming up. And I was going to try to portray these things in a vacation Bible school. How do I get it across to kids? What is forgive? And I wasn't listening to the sermon, I have to admit. But anyway, the thought came to me, flip the word. Give for. Interesting. When God forgives, He offers to give us His will, His Spirit, for or in place of the one that wasn't His. Because sin is any will other than God's will. It begins with that. It can turn into a bad action, but it begins with, I want my way. And so if we confess, agree, confess means agree, our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive. He's okay, I'll give you my will for, when you let go of the other one, forgive. And then He cleanses us from all unrighteousness, and that's the next step. Or release. Have you ever held on to something somebody did to you? Is it comfortable? Not when I've done it. But when I release or forgive them, it's sort of like if I'm unforgiving, I've got a hold of them. I'm not going to let you go. I'm mad at you. I'm, you know. But when I release them, Jesus said, forgive others as your Father forgives you. Until I release the other person, God can't forgive me. And so I'm guilty until I release them. And then God can forgive me and cleanse me. To forgive another person, I can't make it right between them and God. But I can no longer hold them guilty of whatever it was. And they had a right. You had a right to it. But when I let that go, I give it to God. I am now clean before God. God has to deal with them. That's between them and God. And hopefully they will come to the point where they will accept that. But forgive and to cleanse. If we confess simply means to agree, an old English word. Our sins. Sin is when I've had a will other than God's will. He is faithful and just to forgive. He gives us His will back when I let go of the wrong one I had, and cleanses us. Now, in this sense, cleansing is when I no longer have those the bad feelings. Now, I will caution you. The devil is going to try to get you to stay hold of those feelings. I've been there, done that. Father, I choose to give it to you. Take them. I can't even give them to you, but I'm asking you to take them. And God does. This is the cleansing that God wants to give us. And because it's no longer my will, He's giving His will to me, then He can cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Take the word down. Un means not. Right means not right. And so if they're not right thoughts, He can cleanse us from that. I'm so thankful He does that too. Psalm 51, 2 and 7. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. What's iniquity? Iniquity simply meant crooked. Sin is when we're not following God's will, we're going somewhere else. It's crooked. Cleanse me from my sin, not God's will. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Is there someone who would like to read the next quotation?
Yield yourself up to me. Give me that will. Take it from the control of Satan, and I will take possession of it. Then I can work in you to will and to do of my good pleasure.
Amen. And when God gives us the mind of Christ, what happens to the will? Your will becomes what? As His will. Now, we're synchronizing with God's mind. Your character is transformed. What's transformed mean? Trans means across. Formed, our will got messed up. It's bad. So He brings it back to be transformed into His character. Now, the next quotation there brings us to the, there's the first step is affirmation. The second one is forgive or pass over, release, then cleanse. Those three steps are to bring two minds to the point where they can at least go in the same direction. We're not off on another tangent. And she read Psalm 100. I appreciated that so much. Praising God, focusing on what God is like, what He's done. And it says here, as Christians, we ought to praise God more than we do. We ought to bring more of the brightness of His love into our lives. As by faith, we look to Jesus. What's going to happen? What's the next sentence or part of it? His what? Joy and what?
Peace.
Are reflected where? Our countenances, our face, our lives, our actions. How earnestly we should seek so to relate ourselves to God that our faces may reflect the sunshine of His love. When our own souls are vivified, what's that word vivified mean? Viva is Latin for life. So our own souls are made alive by the Holy Spirit. We shall exert an uplifting influence upon others who know not the joy of Christ's presence. And so it will, when we have the joy of the Lord, what happens? We share it with others so they too have an opportunity to experience this joy. We get happy, and happy is good. It's not the same as joy. But you can be happy and joyful at the same time. But remember, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And who for the joy that was set before Him? Was Jesus happy on the cross?
No.
But the joy of knowing that you and I are going to be with Him held Him there to give Him the plan that He could salvage, which was what salvation means. Now, I would like to read one more. I don't know how else to show you this. The one with Jesus with a man kneeling. What about you go home and something happens and you get discouraged? Have you ever had that happen after church? I bid you look away from yourself. Look where? To Jesus. Take hold of the Mighty One and never let go. Our Lord Jesus has expressed His love for you in that He gave His own life that you might be saved, salvaged. You must not distrust that love. Do not Look on the, what? Dark side. Be hopeful in God. By beholding Jesus as your sin-pardoning Savior, you become changed into His image. Say, I've asked my Savior, He has set me free, and I am free indeed. I am the Lord's. The Lord is mine. I will not fear. I know that He loves me in my infirmities. Does that mean that we're perfect? No. But I know He loves me. I will not make Him sorry by showing that I distrust Him. I break with the enemy. What causes us to be attached to the enemy? Oh, I did. Oh, that kind of thing puts you right back with the devil. I break with the enemy. Christ has cut the cords that bound me, and I will do what? Say it together. Praise the Lord. Say it again. Praise the Lord. That's how we break with the enemy. Praising God beats the enemy back and gives us the victory. It isn't how good I am. Praising God, focusing on what God is like, will bring us that kind of victory. The next page, could you read the one with the flowers around it?
These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full.
Barb, could you read the one above? I wasn't going to, but I want to. I want it read.
For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost.
There's that joy piece again. And if you notice, it keeps showing up together. And of course, love is the basis of both of those. So how do you experience joy? We've been reading some. I'm going to read this one. Brethren, it is your privilege to carry with you the credentials. What's a credential?
Authority, isn't it?
Yeah. A pastor usually has credentials. I never asked for him, but he was ordained. He's got the credentials. He's the pastor. He's got the authority. Brethren, it is your privilege to carry with you the credentials that you are what?
Christ.
Whether or not you have ordination or whatever, it doesn't matter, because you belong to Jesus. Love, joy, and peace. That's the credentials that you belong to Christ. Will you seek earnestly to have this heavenly plant of love become rooted in your hearts? Then will you tenderly cherish it, lest it wither and die. Let Christ appear. Now, this next section is something that I needed. I hope you don't, but I'm going to read it anyway. Do not cherish a spirit of independence. What's that mean? I can handle this. I can do this. Which will lead you to feel that if your brethren do not agree with you, they must be wrong. The opinions of your brethren are just as precious to them as yours are to you. Christ in you will unite to Christ in them, and there will be a sweet spirit of union. That's talking about the family of God here. I'm going to just touch on a couple more things. And then we will bring this to a close. There are three activities that create joy. That can, there's probably more than that, but I'm going to touch on three of them. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, enlightened. We've talked about the Holy Spirit being the light of the world. And I hope you'll take time to read all of these over. But the Spirit of the Lord, when it comes in, not only can it give the family, but it can be individually give you light and joy. But there's something else we need to eat. We're going to be eating lunch in a few minutes. But we need spiritual nourishment. We should study the Bible more, that we may become familiar with the promises of God. Then when Satan comes in, flooding the soul with his temptations, as he surely will, we may meet him with what? It is written. We may be shut in by the promises of God, which will be about us as a wall of fire. But we need to eat. And the Word of God is the bread of life. And as we partake of that, it's two or three pages further, there's a way that we can use Scripture to defend us. Build a wall of Scripture around you. How do you build a wall? It is written, it is written, it is written. Keep adding bricks to that wall. You will see the world cannot break it down. Commit the Scriptures to memory. And then throw right back upon Satan when he comes with his temptations. It is written. Have you ever done that? It works. I will tell you. This is the way that our Lord met the temptations of Satan and resisted them. Be determined you will not live without the presence and light and love of Jesus. Then you will have precious victories and will know who is the source of your strength. There's one more way you can experience joy. At least one. I'm talking about God, but it can be other humans as well. And that's communicate. If you don't talk with people, you don't communicate with people, it's pretty hard to know and let them talk to you. You know, we communicate. And God wants us to talk with him and listen to him through his word. And at times he may speak to you individually. There have been times when he has spoken directly. And we know that every honest prayer will be heard by God. Every guidance he will give us when we trust in him. And then the third, communication, listening and talking, not only to God, but to other people. As you will see, we're not going to have time to go into the last part. God wants us to have peace. That was joy. It was difficult for me at first to understand this, but in the New Testament, there was an illustration of peace. And it came in a very unlikely way. It's the last lesson, if you want to go over there. We're not going to have time to touch all of these things. But the armor of God is God's plan to give us great peace of they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I hope that you'll take time to go over this material. And not only, because we often think of the armor as soldier fighting. We were talking this morning a little bit in Sabbath school, and it was the next to the last page. It's about four pages in from the 5 pages in. The armor of God is to fight a different kind of battle. It is showing us how we can have peace, the helmet of salvation, saving thoughts in our minds, the breastplate of right thoughts, feelings, and emotions, which gives us the peace that God alone can give us, the girdle of truth, true in all my relationships, the shoes, God guides us and he directs us, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the shield of faith, faith in God's promises, God said it, I believe it, and all prayer. These are all parts, but they give us peace in believing. And the war, I hope you'll take time, I put opposite purposes there, earth war faith's war, and you can contrast it there. God knows that we are in a battle, but it's a different kind of battle than the world has. God is wanting to instill in us His joy, His peace, and how we can do that is by accepting these gifts. Thank you, Father, for the privilege that you have given to us of being your children. To you be the glory and the honor and the praise. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.